healing instead of judgment. But the gardener answered, "Leave it alone, sir, just one more year, and I will dig around it and put some fertilizer. And then if the tree bears figs next year, so much the better. If not, then you can have it cut down." Our theme for this Lenten season is be loved, not judged. This passage that DJ read begins with a couple of horrible tragedies that took place. One of a tower falling and a lot of people being hurt, and one of Pilate sacrificing. And it demonstrates really, when we think about that period of history, we do think a lot of tragedies going on, a lot of big monuments that we still have today, like the Colosseum or Golgotha, landmarks that remind us of the horrible things that went on back in those days. But we have horrible things going on to this very day. In all of our lives, there's been horrible things going on, and everything in between we read about in history. We wonder all, you know, about these things as they did back then. And Jesus asked the question, do you think that God singled these people out because they were worse than everybody else, and so he singled them out to punish them in this way? No, he didn't. One thing that he wants us to know about God in the way that Christ presented himself and presented God to us, that God is merciful. God loves us. We don't have to have the superstitions that a lot of people around us have about who God is. That God is not out to get anybody. And he's not going around trying to pick out something to get you with or to use against you. That's what people do. But that's not how God works. That's not how God operates. God is all kind, all benevolent. And he wants to save us from these tragedies that we often either bring upon ourselves or maybe they don't have any explanation sometimes. But he wants to help us get through those and make everything as best as it can be for us. Even our own sin, even our own inability to wrap our minds around what we should be and how we should treat each other and all, God wants to forgive us and save us and make us whole. When we think about this part of the passage there, where these things are happening, it is not because God is trying to condemn us. But as Jesus told Nicodemus, he didn't come to condemn anybody, but to save everybody. The reason why I'm thinking about judgment with relation to this passage is because that's where a lot of people's minds go. I think it's a superstitious place to go, but when we do that, we draw on the worst parts of our ideas about spirituality. When we see something bad happen to somebody and then we judge them because of it. And you know that happens a lot, you know, especially in natural disasters or even in war things that people do, terrorism and all. You know that people, so many people go, their mind goes straight to judging the victims as being people that must have been worthy of that kind of evil to befall them, or God would have protected them from it. We're not supposed to do that. I mean, those are worst case scenarios of judgment. Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, judge not. That was in the King James Version, it's two words, judge not. I don't understand how people take judge not to be some kind of authority to judge. And he goes on to say, why not? Because if you judge others, then you will also be judged, and you will be judged by the same standard that you use to judge them. So if your standard is that you saw something in the Bible that you think that they didn't do right, then you will be judged by what God saw in the Bible and thought you didn't do right. And he's got a lot more really to go on. If you judge without the nuance or without the understanding or without consideration of extenuating circumstances of what brought somebody to that point, or you know, what all else was going on that caused them to do or be whatever you think they shouldn't do or be, then that's how you'll be judged. And really, God knows all about it. He knows all about those circumstances that even in our own lives that we ourselves don't even understand or even sometimes know. God is judging us fairly and mercifully. But if we try to judge each other, it's not going to be fair or merciful. And then we bring that upon ourselves, the unfairness and the unmercifulness that we used against someone else. It's just like the where Jesus taught about forgiveness. Many places. One of them being in the right after the in the Sermon on the Mount, right after giving the Lord's Prayer. The next, very next thing he said was, "For if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours." And he had these parables to show about, like the one where somebody had a creditor and he owed the creditor all this money, and creditor mercifully forgave him, but then he went out and he did not extend that forgiveness to somebody that was his debtor. When the creditor heard about it, he called him back in and told him, "Now I'm canceling that forgiveness of your debt." God promises that our sins will be cast into the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us again. As far as the east is from the west, with this one caveat. Because if we don't extend that same forgiveness to each other and the people around us, it all just gets dredged back up. Our own gets all dredged back up again to be used against us. Personally, I don't want that. You don't want that, do you? We don't want that. And that's why Jesus says, to forgive as fully and freely as God in Christ forgives us. And that's why Jesus says, judge not, that you be not judged. We're told not to judge. And whatever Bible verse somebody might come up with to argue that they might, that people have authority to judge, I understand those. But there's still that. So you can use that authority that you think the Bible gives you to judge somebody, but there's still that. If you use it, then it will also be used against you. If you use that authority that you feel you have to judge someone else, then you will be judged in exact accordance to how you're, not for that thing that you're judging them for. You can say, "Well, I didn't do that particular thing they did." That's not it. It's the standard that you used. If it's the Bible or the law of the land or whatever it is, that's how you'll be judged. If you think about it, you probably would find that you would fall short, and you would wish that you would rather be judged by mercy, by the one who says, "There will be judgment without mercy for those who show no mercy." Judge not, that's what Jesus said. Even when the most atrocious things happen, God loves us. God's there to help us to get through them. Sometimes people say we are supposed to be a fruit inspector. The fruit that we are supposed to bear are fruit like love and joy and peace and so forth. As Christians, those are the spiritual fruit that we bear. And if we'll look at what people are doing, we'll see those fruits a lot of times in unexpected places. Peter was having a dream about the sheep that came down from heaven, and all the things that the Bible had said and that he had been taught as he grew up and everything that were unclean were in this sheet. And the voice spoke and told him to take and eat from that. And he said, "Well, I'm not going to do it because it's all against the Bible." But the voice said, "What I've declared clean, don't declare unclean." So, you know, God's looking at everything from a different perspective than we are. As we are learning to look from God's perspective, that's good. But we also need to recognize that we've still got a long way to go. We need to hear what God is inviting us to, not to judge others, but to look at the fruit they're bearing and to look for the good fruit and recognize it when we see it. So what happened with Peter after he had that woke up from that vision was then he went to visit a Gentile community of believers. And this was an issue that he had because his understanding of the scripture was that these Gentiles, they needed to be excluded from the Christian faith because they weren't Jewish, they were Gentiles. So everybody had to be excluded. But when he got there, he saw that they were bearing the same fruit as everybody else that was a believer. They had the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working in their lives. And we need to look at that in each other's lives. Instead of judging people, we need to look for the fruit that they're bearing and see that these people are bearing the same fruit. People in other churches, people with other views, people with other lifestyles, people with other cultures and everything, that we notice that they're bearing the same fruit we are, and that the other people are. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're looking for. We're also supposed to be discerning, even about our own actions and our relationships. Use some discernment. And we use the word judgment a lot of times to cover all those territories. And those are kind of other things. And that happens a lot in the Bible. You know, we find a word that is used a number of different ways, and we pick one of those ways, and we forget about the other ways. These are some other ways that we might use that term, but that it's something completely different than what the Bible's talking about. We are supposed to be discerning. We're supposed to think about what we're doing, what we're saying, and think about the relationships we have, and when it's appropriate to go someplace, and when it's not, and when it's appropriate to say something, and when it's not, and all these things. Use good judgment in that sense in your decision making, but not judging other people. Let God take care of that. And if we try to do that, we're going to get it all messed up for them and for us as well. In this passage, Jesus said, "Nay, but I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." A lot of times repentance we use in the sense of just being sorry for what we've done wrong. And we should be. If we did something wrong, we hurt somebody. And if we did things that were wrong, then we should be sorry that we did. But that's just the feeling around it. What we're supposed to, even more importantly, is that then we change. And then we be happy that we've changed. So repentance, even if it starts with sorrow for something we did wrong, it should end in joy, because now we're not doing that anymore. And now we see the light. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. We saw what changes we need to make. We mended our ways, and we found the ways that we need to make improvements in our life. And that's what Lent is all about. Not just to go around and beat ourselves up because of all of our shortcomings and failures, but to look at what we can change and make better for ourselves and our family and our church and our community. What can we do to improve things? That's what repentance is all about. And if we don't do that, then we're going to perish. If we never change, if we just do things the wrong way forever, you know, then things will just always be worse. So we want to change and make things better. The goal of all of this is regeneration, as we see with the end of the passage. Talks about this tree that hasn't been bearing any good fruit. We're supposed to be bearing this good fruit, this spiritual fruit. And if we look at ourselves and we find that we're not, we need to do the things that go along with bearing more fruit. In this case, he said, don't cut the tree down just yet. Let's do some work with it and give it another year and see if maybe it bears fruit. And then if it does, then we'll be glad that we left it there. Of course, I take that real personally whenever I read this passage, because I'm appointed a year at a time in my ministry. And so I think about it, my ministry, in terms of a year. And what am I going to do this year? And we have a consultation then and reviews and everything before the decision is made to where I'm going to be appointed for another year. Hoping for another opportunity for another, just give me one more year. Kind of how I look at this. Give me one more year to grow and to be whoever God wants me to be while I'm here. But it's about the fruit bearing. It's about that God always wants to give us another chance to make those changes. Usually when people want to judge somebody, it's not because they want to give them another chance. It's because they want to end all their chances. They want to punish them. They want to stop them in their tracks and not let them have any more chances in this life or in the life of the world to come. And they use all the imagery they can find in the Bible to back that up and to make it as horrible and gruesome for them as they can. But that's not what God's trying to do. What God is trying to do is what he's talking about in this parable of the fig tree. He's trying to give them another chance, trying to get us to bear fruit. He's trying to get us to find the joy of our salvation. He's trying to transform us. He's trying to heal us. He's trying to make us whole. And so he's always working at that. Where some people are always picking and digging, trying to make things worse, God is always picking and digging, trying to find a way to make things better for everybody. And for us, and for everybody, including us, including each one of us, to make life better, to give us more of that new life in Christ, to continue to make changes to make us happier and make us more of a blessing to the people around us. Always healing. And that's another one of those words that is translated in different ways and used in different ways, but healing is salvation. They come from the same word. Sometimes they're translated, the word is translated healing. Sometimes it's translated salvation. All the time, it's what God is doing to bring us to wholeness and completeness and to give us everything that we were made to be in this life and in the life of the world to come, eternal joy and happiness together as His family. So when we read this passage, when we think about judgment, when we think about repentance, that's what God is tending toward our happiness, our joy, our eternal life. And then He wants us to extend that, all of that, out to the people around us. The forgiveness, the mercy, the love, the encouragement, the hope, the healing, everything. And what a blessing it is that we have that opportunity to, whatever part of that that can flow through us, that we get to be used that way in the upbuilding of the kingdom of God.